Horatio Cotton, a.k.a. Bobby, is a 30-something-year-old man whose life is in shambles. He's so desperate, he steals a self-help book called Magnificent Vibration, Discover Your True Purpose. When he opens the book, he finds a 1-800 number for God, or Big G Little O.D., as he calls him. So, of course, he picks up the phone and dials. Who wouldn't? From there, a fantastical, saucy, and soul-searching tale unfolds. Rick Springfield, yes, the musician Rick Springfield, is the author behind this whirlwind of a tale. You may remember Rick as Dr. Noah Drake from the soap opera General Hospital, or maybe this song rings a bell. You know I wish that I had Jesse's girl. I wish that I had Jesse's girl. Where can I find a woman like that? Rick Springfield's debut novel is called Magnificent Vibration. He joins me here in our studios in Washington. Thanks so much for coming in, Rick.
I'm very glad to.
So let's start off by talking a little bit about Bobby and where he is in his life, how he's gotten to this point. What happened to him that Bobby finds himself needing to steal a self-help book?
That's actually a part of my original life. I used to steal books. I wasn't very good at school, but I loved to read. And I didn't have enough money to buy all the books I wanted, so I'd go into a secondhand bookstore, buy one, and then stack 14 under it and walk out. And I ended up with this big cardboard box in my room with like 300 books in it. And my mom's going to my dad, I know Richard can't afford this. Where's he? I'm sure he's stealing them. My mom sounds like Monty Python when she gets gone. So I'd stay home from school and read and play guitar. That's all I did. But so Bobby and this Horatio in the story is really... He feels completely neglected by God and feels like his life is just a complete mess. He's just gone through this hellacious divorce that's detailed why that happens in the book. And out of his desperation,
he's lost.
Yeah.
He's a little lost. So he's in a bad place and he's looking for answers. Why did you decide to bring God into the story? Because at times he has a biting sense to his humor. He can be a little sarcastic.
Yeah, he kind of got snarkier and snarkier as the book goes on. But I love that God has an attitude. I think everybody gets to some point in their life when their religion they were raised in doesn't fit anymore. I certainly did, and I was raised thinking that God punished me when I did the stupid things, but when something good happened, I should turn around and say, thank you. Even as a young boy, I had real lot of anger towards God.
Did you grow up going to church, your parents?
Yeah, I was made to go to church. You know, it was obligation.
What
I went
church?
To church and got an ice cream at the end. So, and I never understood it. It was Church of England. It was all the old phrases, and I didn't get it. I didn't get anything from it. But I did have a connection with God through that. So I've always been a big spiritual searcher.
But you still liked the idea of having a 1-800 number to some divine entity.
That would be so great.
We mentioned that Bobby has had a lot of trauma in his life, and you have been public about your own bouts with depression, even suicidal thoughts, something that you talked about publicly in your memoir, your first book. But I wonder how writing a novel allowed you to engage in that subject, address that personal side of your life in a different way.
Well, again, each character comes from a point of truth. And Bobby's probably the closest person in the book to me. And I know all those feelings really well, the suicidal thing and life feeling like life is over. But I want to stress it's a humorous book. It's not a dark,
it's not
depressing
just gloom
book.
And doom.
I would just put in parts that felt right.
Mm-hmm. Bobby's not alone. He's got a couple cohorts in this book. Alice, a former nun, and a guy named Lexington Vargas. They've all come across copies of Magnificent Vibration, which has brought them together. And we don't want to give too much away about the plot, but I do want to talk about Loch Ness, because it's just kind of a fantastical destination for the three of these folks to end up in. Why there? Why Scotland? Why Loch Ness?
That just happened. I just started writing a section about this guy encountering this creature. When I wrote it, I had no idea how this kind of fit into the story. So it just eventually did, and that part of me is true with Bobby, that I love the whole monster thing, and I camped by Loch Ness when I was a kid. And
did?
We lived in England when I was a kid, and we camped everywhere, and one of the weeks we were by Loch Ness, and it always stuck with me. And so it just kind of happened. I really can't explain why. It just kind of just came out, you know, that way.
It seems as if the book just, you let yourself just go, just sit and let your imagination run wild, mm-hmm. because it is fantastical and it's not linear and it's not predictable. Was it fun for you, or was it work to do?
No, it was a lot of fun, but it was also scary at one point, going, oh my God, wow, how does all this culminate in what,
yeah.
you know? The way I write songs, the same way, I just start out with the first line. So,
which is easier, songwriting or fiction writing?
Well, they both have their highs and lows. Songwriting, certainly much shorter.
Yeah, I would think that just by that, the
nature
of that.
And you don't need an editor because, you know, you can handle the editing on 200 words.
And before I let you go, I have to ask you if you've ever purchased or stolen a self-help book.
I've purchased many. I may have stolen one or two.
Rick Springfield, his debut novel is called Magnificent Vibration. He joined us in our studios here in Washington. Rick, thanks so much for coming.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
When you were just a young girl and still in school, how come you never learned the golden rule? Don't talk to strangers.